Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glamorne, and Derek O'Connor.
Good morning. How are we doing? It's a lovely time of the day to be up and about and talking to you.
Derek, we've said it, I don't know how many times, about this Russian Grand Prix. Going to be a stinker, it'll be a snooze fest. But we've got a glimmery hope in qualifying. Where qualifying was quite good to watch. A wee bit of weather and we had the potential.
Yeah.
Then we get to the race, we're a bit of a mixed up grid, and it delivered.
Was one of the better races of the season so far, especially with the mixed up grid.
Better, Derek, or the best?
I'll do that bit at the end of the season. There is still opportunity for there to be the best race.
Best race so far.
Okay, I'll let you have that. Right, I'll let you have that.
I'm selling this. Yeah. With the grid being mixed up, it had a lot of potential. And we had actually three or four runners coming through for the bike that were taking engine penalties. And it turned out, between obviously the qualifying show and the race day, Bottas had decided to take, or I say Bottas decided, I think that was probably more a case of Toto saying, putting the arm around him and saying, Valtteri, we've got a wee mission for you. What we want you to do take an engine penalty.
We want you to be a barn door. We want you to be as wide as you could possibly be. And I think he misunderstood that. I really do.
Yeah. I think how the actual race panned out for Bottas after he was told to hold him up, and maybe Valtteri, you can get a top five finish, which I don't think was the plan. We're maybe actually looking at this very cynically and saying that that's why he took the engine penalty, was to hold up Max. And that was it. But unfortunately, Bottas, true to form, up and down, some great race weekends, and this was just not a great race weekend for him. As you said, Max went past him, Leclerc was past him in the blink of an eye, and then Valtteri he languished in 14th for, I think, 95% of the race until the rain came, and he was one of the big winners right at the end of the race. That's the only reason that he wound up in fifth place. The start was actually frenetic.
Yes. And so there were some big winners and there were some big losers. I mean, Hamilton having another terrible start, really. He sort of did all right, but then he suddenly found himself going backwards instead of forwards, you know. I mean, and
I think he got boxed in on the right-hand side of turn one. He had made a good start, but then as Norris came across and Sainz and him were fighting for position, he had to back out of it, and unfortunately it allowed Ricardo, Stroll and Russell to maintain their positions. And unfortunately for Norris, he also lost out to Sainz. I think it was a good start for Sainz. Absolutely cracking start from
Sainz. Rocket.
Yeah. Again, where's that performance come from? But Sainz gets into the lead and he held that for 14 laps, keeping ahead of Norris, which was probably actually a saving grace for Hamilton later on in the race. It didn't give him such a big gap to catch him on. But meanwhile, Russell was basically the cork in the bottle. He was in front of Stroll, Ricardo, and then Hamilton. Hamilton sitting in sixth. The first 13, 14 laps, I thought maybe this isn't going to be Hamilton's day.
No, and this is going to be a typical Russian Grand Prix.
Well, look, it was a Merck train. So we had Russell, Stroll, Ricardo and Hamilton, all Merck cars. And unfortunately, Hamilton couldn't make any inroads to Ricardo. But likewise, Ricardo couldn't make any inroads into Stroll or Russell. So we get to lap 13 and Stroll's the first one to come in. These guys were on mediums, but unfortunately the greening on the mediums, I think, made these guys think these tyres are done.
Yeah.
And they came in, and with hindsight, because we can talk about the rest of the medium runners, Ricardo 23, Hamilton 27 laps, we've got Norris 28 laps. These guys were on the mediums as well. How Stroll, Russell and Sainz thought these tyres are done, I'm not entirely sure. Even Pirelli turned around and said, look, these tyres will do 17 to 22 laps. If you look after them, you can get longer out of them. And we did see drivers doing that. It wasn't
I think they panicked. And they didn't go through the first phase of graining. They just went, oh, my God, my tyres have gone, and shot in and changed them, where others drove through the first phase and went to the second phase of graining and then make the change.
Yeah, because with those three people, Stroll, Russell and Sainz, if it wasn't for the rain at the end, they would have had some points. Sainz would have probably been down in 7th or 8th, but he wound up on the podium, got a third out of it, but it wasn't because of this pit stop, this strategy early on. Ferrari did actually come over the radio and say to him, look, you're fighting if you can get 5th. And I think Sainz was like, how? You know? He wasn't getting the information that everybody else had stayed at in their mediums and got through, like you said, the graining process, and were actually then actually putting in cracking laps and maintaining the gaps to these guys. And you're right, they shot their bolt way too early. That was the simple problem. Yeah. And they would have actually had this particular train between the DRS and the Mobium Merck engines, it would have screwed Hamilton even more. Because once the A3 had went in, it had left us with a McLaren 1-2, which was looking promising because Hamilton still couldn't get past Ricciardo. If Danny could have stayed it longer, he would have actually kept Hamilton behind him. We would have actually been sitting here talking about it as if it was Hungary and Alonso. And the reason that Norris is taking his first win is because Hamilton was held up behind Ricciardo for so long. Unfortunately, Danny goes into the pits on 23, at a reasonable time. It's just past the window the mediums were expected to do. And unfortunately, it has an 11-second pit stop, which, to be honest, broke Ricciardo's race. It dropped him down way too far. He did come back, actually, at the end. But again, he was a big gainer because of the weather. Hamilton, on the other hand, this made his race, didn't it, Derek? Because this then gave Hamilton the space to stretch his legs a bit over the next 3 to 4, 5 laps. And then when he came out, he didn't have anybody in front of him. He only had Norris in front of him. Although the longer runners, your Perez's, your Alonso's, Leclerc, Gasly, they were still in front of them, but they still had to pit. So Hamilton's race was still just with Norris. And with nobody in between, no buffer, it gave him the prime opportunity, obviously, to catch up. With obviously this going on at the front, we have to talk about, obviously, Max coming from the back and Leclerc coming from the back. Bottas, we already mentioned. Bottas stalled in sort of 14th, whereas we had Max Verstappen coming through for the back and making progress. Max was on the hard tyres, but the problem he had was that to get all these overtakes done, he was having to push the car in places it maybe didn't want to. And unfortunately, he had kind of burnt through his hard tyres at the same time as Hamilton had burnt through his mediums. And it kind of, it left him a bit of a limbo. He was never going to challenge for the top sort of like steps of the podium in any way, shape or form at that point.
No, he didn't stand a chance, really. I don't think he really thought that today was going to be his day. I think they were hoping to get him in the top 10. They were hoping to get some points. And from 10 to 2, you know, from any of them positions, because I don't think they thought they were on for the win unless luck really played on their side.
Yeah.
And it was all damage limitation. Damage limitation was the key word from Red Bull. And I think they managed it. I think they did very well.
They definitely did.
They actually kept the curl. And Max showed yet again that when he's not got the red mist in his face, he can drive a mature, considered race, and that's what he did today.
The thing was, once Max was out in the mediums, they kind of fell out, and quite a few of the people that actually went to the hards, I think Bottas was in the same sort of situation, when they had actually went across to do the pit stop from the hards to the mediums, the guys that were actually started on the hards, Alonso Perez, Leclerc, Gasly, they had ran nearly 10 laps longer than them, and they'd started to come in lap 36, 37. So there was a 10-lap benefit that those guys had on the medium tyres that they were coming out over Max on his medium tyres, and Alonso overtook him. And to be fair, Max was stuck in 7th, and he was going to have to fight to keep that position, and that was where he was going to finish until the rain came towards the end. And we've got to really talk about the big gains and the big losers. Because when the rain came, it was about lap 46 to 48. And we weren't entirely sure what was going to happen. If it was going to be a light enough shower that's similar to qualifying, that if they could keep temperature in the tyres, they would still be able to actually get around the track. The problem was that there were mainly your Hamiltons, Norris, they were on worn hard tyres and try to keep the temperature in them as well as actually deal with the rain. Looked like they'd managed it for the first couple of laps, and the team was talking to Norris and Hamilton, and they were like, no, leave us out, it's wetting. Wet at turn 5, but the rest of the track is actually dry. And unfortunately, the information because I've heard obviously Norris speaking in his interview after the race, as well as Hamilton. And basically Hamilton was told, look, the rain's got to come down even heavier. And although he ignored it the first time round, Hamilton then came in lap 49, stroke 50, came in at the end of lap 49. And at that point, there was a 25-second between him and Norris because they had obviously, that's a pit stop time. So when Hamilton came back out, it had that 25 seconds to catch Norris. Unfortunately, the heavens kind of opened. And unfortunately, Norris, in his interview, highlighted that the team didn't really turn around to him and say, look, it's got to rain heavier. He was under the impression it was going to stay as a light mist or a light shower, similar to what qualifying was. So what Norris did was Norris was like, well, no, that's fine. I can keep this on the track. And then the heavens opened. We get this deluge. Heavy rain comes down and Norris can keep it on the track for what was effectively half a lap. And in that half a lap, he lost so much time. Had to come into the pits, get back out in the inters. But by this time, he's down to seventh. And I think everybody's heart sank for him. When you were watching it, Derek, what were you thinking? I mean, it was edge of the seat stuff, those last sort of seven laps. Yeah,
it was whoever blinked first or whoever changed the tyres first was always going to have the advantage, because whoever didn't, if the rains came down, it was a gamble. It was a gamble, and it didn't pay off for Norris today. And it paid off for Hamilton.
Well, the thing was, Hamilton's track position, it was sitting in second. That pit stop obviously made the race for him after obviously getting past Ricciardo and stuff. Hamilton's position on the track was second, and then there was a 30-second gap. So really, Hamilton had nothing to lose. Hamilton, Norris gone, decided to come in. Free pit stop, worst case scenario. He was in second. He finishes second. If Norris can keep it on the track, on those hards, great. If the weather didn't get any worse, unfortunately it did. But look, the thing was, as we came into those last sort of six, seven, eight laps, there were some winners and there were some losers. There was the people that had pitted late, sort of Perez, Alonso. These guys had actually pitted late and they were actually going to finish a lot higher than what they did because of the pit stop timing going across it in the inters. So we've actually got the gainers were the people where Bottas gained. He came up from 14th to 5th in the last three or four laps. We've got Ricciardo, who, unfortunately, his poor pit stop, having to run the hard tyres towards the end, meant that he also actually scored big time out, because their hard tyres were shot by then. They were waiting on them to fall off the cliff. They were just trying to get them to the end. Sainz was in a similar position. And also Max. Max was the one that actually probably won the most here. He was sitting in seventh. And you got to take your hat off to the team and say, the team made the decision and said, Max, come in, get the inters. This rain is going to get worse before it gets better. This is the best opportunity, and getting second from what was basically starting dead last is a fantastic result for them. They kind of lucked into it in some senses, but again, got to be there. The team's got to make the right decisions, and then Max has got to keep it on the tarmac.
They maximised their damage limitation today, and it was Red Bull's to gain today, and they did.
They did. They minimised it the best they could, because let's be honest, at the start of the weekend, they would have taken second after he decided to take the engine penalty. They'd have taken your hand off for that. The other sort of losers, because these guys are the ones that gained, they pushed your Norris, your Alonso, your Perez back the way, purely because these guys had maybe came in just a lap afterwards. So Norris obviously dropped to seventh. We've got Perez, he dropped all the way down to ninth. Russell gained as well. Russell, actually, he made up a few places, because these guys had been on those hard tyres for so long, they had nothing to lose. Yeah. They're like, screw it, let's just stick the inters on. Worst case scenario, we pick up some places. And it was good to see Russell actually get points. Although he started off third, I think a complete misstep on the strategy there when they came in so early to get shot at the mediums.
Yeah.
That we know still had another 14 laps life cycle in them before they actually really should have gotten rid of them. Other big loser has to be Leclerc. Leclerc had a great race. He was flying. And again, he pulled an Norris. He was like, no, I'm going to stay out. I think I can. And unfortunately, wound up in 15th. And unfortunately, the thing about Norris actually going to seventh. That victory up to lap 46, even lap 48, Norris had this in the bag. Hamilton was close, but he couldn't get, even with the DRS, he'd just get into the DRS. But the aero set up the HUD on the McLarens this weekend, it wasn't obviously the same as Monza, but it certainly was a faster car than what Merck had set up their aero. And that's why Danny kept Hamilton behind them. And it was also going to be the reason why Norris would have kept him behind. But it was absolute heartbreak. Derek, do you think the actual team, do you think when they were talking to Norris and Norris is like, no, I'm going to stay out, And to be fair, Hamilton obviously stayed at that extra lap. But common sense or the team got to Hamilton. There was enough trust that Hamilton was like, yep, you know what? The team can see something I can't. And he came in and it won him the race. Do you think McLaren should have saved Norris from himself in those last couple of laps? Second wouldn't have been a bad result.
Yes, they should have done. They should have brought him in. They should have changed him. I think it's a lack in experience of the team at McLaren now.
Yeah.
If you'd have gone back 20, 10 years, 15 years, and the McLaren teams from back then would have said, get in, we'll change you now.
Yeah.
But I think it's a whole new team and they're all learning all these new things. They'll not make that mistake again.
No.
They'll not make that mistake again.
No. I think what I was going to say was I think it would have taken Seidel coming on the radio and saying, Lando, come in, as opposed to his race engineer, because he told his race engineer, Sharp, I'm doing it. And the pressure of the situation, et cetera, et cetera. But likewise, the team had not given him enough information because he was still under the impression that the rim was going to stay light. And there's a miscommunication in there, and you're right, that's the experience of the team. These guys, that's Lando's race engineer, like you said 10 years ago, they'd still be in high school. Lando was still in high school 10 years ago. McLaren of the past wouldn't have made that mistake, and unfortunately it's came back and bit them today. And it's sad to see, and we desperately wanted, because it wasn't about Hamilton getting the result today and Hamilton getting his 100th. It was about Norris getting his first win today. And after having seen Danny Rick get it last week, Norris must have been thinking, if he can do it, I can do it. And he had the perfect weekend up until the rain came and lap 50. And then that was it. Gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Derek, driver of the day.
Lando, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Completely but agree.
Only because, and his maturity afterwards, his maturity has been fantastic throughout the whole weekend. And I think, you know, he's the driver of the future. And I'm sure there's going to be some real good ding-dong battles between him, Russell.
The thing that I really found impressive with Norris was his radio messages to his team. Because when we hear Max or Lewis, it's normally, my tyres are gone. You hate to get me out of this situation. I'm stuck behind such and such. What are yous doing to help me? Whereas with Norris, it was like they're having a proper conversation and he had that mental capacity to be informing the team on how the car was running. These tyres can go a bit longer, etc., etc. And it was, you're right there, it was a mature performance for Norris. And him on those worn hard tyres with Lewis bearing down on him as we came into, because it wasn't just the last couple of laps. Hamilton had 15 laps, a 2 second gap, 15 laps to go. And for the 15 laps, Norris was going to have the pressure of Lewis Hamilton, the 7-time world champion, going for his 100th victory, breathing down his neck. And he was handling it outstanding until the rain came. And then the team should have stepped in and protected Norris from himself. And even if they'd actually got him in at the same time as Hamilton and both had came out in inters, the win was still on for him. But in his head, he was like, no, I can handle this. And unfortunately, as you said, he'll not make the same mistake again, but it's a learning process, isn't it?
It is. And as you say, I mean, if you think Lewis has won 100 races now and Lando's still trying to win, you know, race number one.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, in 10 years' time, we might be saying, and Lando has got his 100th win.
I think part of the reason today's race was actually so good, Derek, is there's another thing that I think comes into play here, and it's actually a good chunk of these teams are developing this car. I get that they're working towards next season with some of the cars, but the McLarens, even the Ferraris, and we've got the Alpines in there, and we've got to give a shout to Kimi, a cool head, while everybody else was losing theirs. He made it in the 8th, got some points for Alfa Romeo. But these teams, they've developed the car to the point that we've actually got a midfield battle of good drivers with very, very similar cars. And especially the second part of the season, it seems to be getting tighter and tighter in the midfield. And I can only hope we wind up with races like this going forward. So how this all affects the constructors and the drivers? Well, if we look at the drivers first of all, the good thing I think today is that Max came through and actually minimised the damage to the maximum that he could. And we get a swing. Hamilton was 5 points behind, and it's now a swing of 2 points in Hamilton's favour. It keeps the championship as tight as we possibly can. So Hamilton's in 2.46, Max is in 2.44. Norris could have moved into, I think, third place in the Drivers' Championship, but unfortunately his result today meant that Bottas 1.51, Norris 1.39. And if we look at the constructors, if anything, Perez's poor performance and Bottas lucking into fifth, along with Hamilton's win, is helping Mercedes push forward on the constructor side. They're on 3.97, and it's now a 33-point gap to Red Bull, 3.64. McLaren, a good result for them. McLaren on 234, and Ferrari on 216. Our next race, Derek, we're off to Turkey in 2 weeks' time. That'll be the Sunday, the 10th of October, round 16. We've still got quite a few races to go if they all take place. We've got Turkey, we've got Austin, we've got Mexico, we've got Brazil and the other sprint race. Then we've got Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi to finish it off. So we've still got quite a few races to go. I just hope we can keep this kind of level
the
of quality.
The momentum going and, I agree with you there.
The one thing I would say, Derek, about today and the performances, and I haven't really felt it this way so far this season, but today it felt like Hamilton, when he was in sixth, and that start, he was tiptoeing. He was taking extra care because the championship battle, it's in his head. I know Max has turned around and said, I don't have a problem with this. Hamilton doesn't know me. There's no pressure on me. I don't think anyone can turn around and actually say that this won't affect him. This run in has got to have an effect. He's human.
Yeah.
I think today it was both. I mean, we saw mature drives up and down the grid for a lot of these guys. Norris, outstanding driver of the season so far, and will be, I think, even based on the performance so far. Hamilton is starting to show that drive into the end of the season when it's getting tight. And we're going to see who breaks first between these two guys. And Max can say that he's not under pressure. Maybe that's the case. Maybe Max is at that point. But I'll tell you, if it comes to the last race and we're in the situation there's only a couple of points between them, that pressure is going to be there. It doesn't matter what they say, it's going to be there. And we look forward to it. I just hope we get there and it's still just 2 and 3 point gaps. And it comes down to maybe fastest lap. Could you imagine if the championship was won and who gets the fastest lap in the last race? Because it could come down. It's that close. Well, folks, thanks for listening to the podcast. Join us in 2 weeks' time. There's nothing else really to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe. Take care.
This has been a Peter Cat production for DNF1.